Hello, my name's Ross Crawford. I'm the editor of the Redditch Standard, and welcome to the Redditch Standard podcast. Joining me today is the victorious Matt Dormer, leader of the Borough Council, who bucked the national trend last week by actually increasing the majority of the Conservative group in on the Borough Council down at the Town Hall. Welcome to the studio, Matt.
Thank you very much, Russ. Welcome.
And obviously, doing our sound as well, we have Claire, who's fiddling with various buttons at the moment and hopefully getting everything absolutely spot on. Right, Matt, my goodness, you were you said when you woke up on Friday morning you were a little bit worried about
events. Yeah, I think I was up 5:30, 5:45. Put my iPad on, saw the results flying in, and just thought, oh, it's not going to be a very good day. I kind of remembered how much work we had done, and you know how much effort the whole team had put in, and how much commitment was there. I wouldn't say I was overconfident, but you know, we had done as much as we could do, and I was sure of that. We focused on telling people it's. Try not to judge us on the national issues and what's going on in Parliament, Westminster. Just focus on what we've done locally, what we aim to do locally, and that we are local people supporting the local community.
Yeah, and that's why you're in today, actually. Because yeah. You're here about, you've got at least another year, 2 years, possibly 3 years now.
Yeah,
If we're being optimistic.
Yeah,
Are you being optimistic?
I am being optimistic, yeah. I'll never take anything for granted because, you know, we've got elections next year. We're in the fortunate position. We're kind of reversing what we've just had to do. This year we've defended 8 and we've, you know, we only had 2 to go at. Next year we've only got to defend 2. I say only.
These are Borough Council wards.
These are Borough Council wards, yes. We've only got to defend 2 seats and Labour have to defend 8. So I'd like to think that, well, even if we lost both seats, we'd still be in control overall. So, but that won't happen. You know, I'm confident of that. So that gives us at least next year. The year after that, it's county elections. So that'll be 3 years. Who knows after that? I don't want to think any further than that, really. But we've got time to lay foundation now and to, you know, deliver on what our promises were.
Just talking about those promises.
Yeah.
Unlocking Redditch. What on earth does unlocking Redditch mean?
I think that's just fulfilling the potential of our town. It's getting it back to where it should be, where it always should be. It's I don't like to be unkind, but I do get the impression we've stood still for probably 5, 6, 7, 8 years. We need to move forward now.
That's a bit hard on the Labour administration, considering that you're carrying on with Rubicon Leisure and you were opposed to that originally, weren't you?
Me personally, no.
Well, I'm not saying you personally. But
me personally.
Your group were.
Me personally, no. we are where we are with that. I'm always a fan of keeping things in-house because if somebody's offering to do something for you, they're going to be making money at it. So why let them? Do it yourself. So that's why I'm always supported the Rubicon idea. Okay, because at least it keeps control. I do understand as a group we did vote against it. We are where we are. And yeah, we've got to support it and move forward and help Rubicon make the town a better place from a leisure point of view.
That's right. It's one of the key parts yeah. of your jigsaw, isn't it?
It is.
Just want to explain.
Yeah, so I think probably said before that we've got some great parks in the town. There's the Arrow Valley Park, the Countryside Centre, which has now come back in-house and is being managed by Rubicon. We've got the Morton Stanley Park. We've got to make those far more attractive than they are. They are lovely areas to go and walk and exercise and everything. We've just got to create them a better destination park now. So there are plans afoot for the Countryside Centre and the Arrow Valley Park. We're going to do a piece of master planning work. So there'd be a far, far greater, more things to do. So more things to play at. And the Morton Stanley. I think we've got a cafe and toilet block earmarked to go in there, which will help massively. I think that's something that's been sadly lacking for some years at Morton Stanley Park. It has a lot of visitors. It's a lovely walk, lovely park, but it just lacks, you know, the facilities for when you are there.
Yeah. And what about the town centre? Are you going to stick with this four quarters idea? What's in the pipeline there?
Well, yeah, there's so quarters, zones, areas, whatever we want to call them. The train station is probably one area, one quarter, if you like. So that's, we've secured some funding. So we'll start to work on that at some point. We've got, what's quite heartening is we've got development partners wanting to get involved in that, which says Redditch is still a very, very good area for people to come and invest in. So that's the train station area. That's that will include retail shops and housing. That should bring in some of the land around the train station as well. That would be great.
You said something about a link from the train station directly into the Kingfisher.
Yeah, I think, you know, if I get my way, I'd like to build up and into the Kingfisher so that people get off the train and they're already in the Kingfisher. They're at our shopping centre, which will help the Kingfisher. It'll help us as a town as well. So I think the more footfall we can help get through the Kingfisher, the more vibrant a town centre we'll have. So.
And yeah. What about the town hall? What's going to happen there?
You know, town hall,
community hub, or is it? Or?
Community hub is the way forward. Where it's going to go around the town, I'm not 100% certain yet. It's, you know, it's going to need a large footprint. I think in an ideal world, if we could knock and rebuild, that'd be great. But it's like, where do you house all those people while you do that? So I don't think that's overly feasible. But who knows, really? It's, you know, there's other areas of the town. There's the far end by the old medical centre.
By Smallwood.
Smallwood, yeah. That's it. So that area is all up for development. That could be anything. The town hall could move there. I don't know. You know, we've got to look at every single option that is open to us. That might be a great place to put housing. Again, that will increase the footfall in the town centre, which would be great. So I think there's a lot to look at and a lot to discuss. But again, I think what's important on all of this is whatever we do, there will be public consultation. There will be engagement with the public, because we don't want to do things that are against them. We don't want to do things that just because we think it's right. It's about what is best for everybody. So I think the public engagement is really key.
Well, absolutely. And just talking in public consultation made me think of Matchborough and Wynyates. I mean, what's happening? Is the public consultation still going to go ahead
there? Yes, the public consultation was always going to go ahead. That will not stop at all. I think
you've already made up your mind, so haven't you?
Whether we make our minds up or not, the public will be the ones that ultimately make the decision, because it will be. We'll discuss things with local shop owners, local business owners, local landowners, and the residents, and it will be what is best for them, and what is most commercially viable as well. It has to tick the both boxes. We can't be building things that we're not going to get a return from, because we have to be more commercial. As a council, we've got to look at making more money, because we've got to be more sustainable ourselves instead of relying on the ever decreasing pot.
Well, that's right. The amount of government grant you get each year is just being cut left, right, and centre.
Yeah, it's, and so we have to look to stand on our own two feet. We've got money to invest, which is good. We've got commercial investments that are available to us at the moment that we are exploring, and all of that will bring us a revenue, and that's going to be key for our survival moving forward.
So if you could summarise then your plans for the town centre. We've got the railway quarter.
Yeah.
We've got a community hub.
Yeah, yeah.
We mentioned before a blue light quarter, yeah, so, perhaps.
Well, so there's going to be a new blue light hub built. The location at the moment that is muted is Middlehouse Lane, which is on the site of the fire station. That will be a multi-blue light hub, so that will be the police and the fire and whoever else gets involved in that. I'm not 100% on that, which will free up the police station area, which will enable that to be available for redevelopment. And that could improve the flow of the town. It could make the Trafford Park more accessible from the town centre. And I think that's key as well. You know, you want people to park at one point in the town centre and be able to walk around and engage with lots of different shops, lots of different businesses on their route from A to B without having to get back in the car, relocate and get out the car again. So we've got to improve the flow so that, you know, it helps all the shops around here.
Yeah, it could be a shot in the arm for Ulster Street, couldn't it?
Could be, yes. Yeah, it could well be. I think that would be key as well.
Yeah, fantastic. So blue light, community, commercial and a railway station. We covered a lot, haven't we?
I think most of those include a large element of residential as well. I think we've got to get more residential in the town centre because we've got to understand there's a lot of people who do actually commute to work, and I think if we can have a better residential offering within our town, it's going to be better for those who want to commute. It's less cars on the road as well, so promoting a more greener environment too.
Yeah, they're going to need a town centre supermarket then, aren't they?
You know, exactly. That's what we're pushing, you know. That'd be great, that would.
Right. Okay, well, thanks for just joining us and explaining some of the plans you've got for the future of the town over the next year, 2 years, and possibly three. I know you're going to stick around because we're going to chat about a bit of news here. We're going to kick off with that election result, actually.
Okay.
Because I know you alluded to it earlier that you were fairly confident, even though given the national picture, the national picture wasn't good, but you were confident you'd fought on local issues. So.
Yeah, we fought on local issues. We chose the right candidates. We chose really enthusiastic, hard-working candidates, and they did a fantastic job. I shouldn't underestimate that. They worked tirelessly. The existing councillors as well all chipped in, and we fought a very, very hard campaign.
You were lucky.
For a long period of time.
You were lucky, weren't you? 4 votes in Brockhill, 17 in Churchill. You were cutting it fine, weren't you?
I think 17 in Churchill is a 1,700% increase on the year before. Hmm. So that was one, wasn't it? So yeah, something like that. Batchelin Brockhill, 4 votes. But I'm fully aware that Labour ran a good campaign in Batchelin Brockhill.
Yeah.
I think they saw that as a target ward for them. So, you know, I expected a tight fight in that area. I did a lot of campaigning myself in that area. You know, it was key to us. We knew we wanted to keep Batchelin and Brockhill. Yeah. And again, we had a really good candidate in Nair there. Mm. She's a really enthusiastic, fantastic girl.
Yeah. And I guess, yeah, a miss is as good as a mile, really. I mean, you had one councillor winning by one vote in Churchill last time out.
Yeah.
And now, but, you know, it's a difference between winning and losing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And it comes down to fine margins sometimes.
It does, yeah, yeah. I think we did only just miss out in Greenlands as well. Normally we don't come close in Greenlands, but to get within 40 votes, I think it was, I think that's a great result. And that's, you know, got to pay tribute to Luke there. Again, he did a lot of work in that ward. And for him to run that so close, I think he's fantastic for him. You know, he's a really good lad, and I think we'll see more from him in the future.
Yeah. Moving on, obviously, Ulster and Studley also went to the polls in Studley. It's now a Lib Dem ward town, no, village, I guess. And it was the councillor who was, I don't know, I think there was a degree of dissatisfaction with the Redditch Eastern Gateway.
Yeah.
Probably cost the Conservative councillor his seat there. And I don't know, you're looking puzzled there. Do you disagree with that?
I'm just obviously going over to Lib Dem control. You know, nationally Lib Dems ran a fantastic campaign, didn't they? They clearly targeted Remain towns, which is probably why they didn't do very good in Redditch. Mm. You know, we weren't a Remain town, and that's that. But they must have campaigned on a couple of local key issues, probably got a local candidate in, and it worked out for them. It's a shame. It's gone from Tory control, you know, but...
I don't know, variety is the spice of life sometimes,
they
you know.
They say that, yeah, but
spice of life.
Sometimes we like the... We just like the one colour.
And just sticking with the yellow colour at the moment, because obviously the in Studley, they retained Studley and Sanborn.
Yeah.
And of course in Ulster, they won Ulster Town from the Conservatives as well. Again, a strong candidate in Susan Junid, who stood against Rachel McLean in the general election in Redditch. So some good candidates as well. There,
I think picking the right candidate is key. I think Mike Rouse probably proved that last year at Churchill. Mike being having a Churchill background, he turned out to be a very good candidate for that area. And I think the more local you can get your candidates, the more people will engage with them. They'll appreciate where they've come from. And, you know, you can pick up more votes that way. And I think that's key to winning elections moving forward.
Moving away from election time.
Good.
and policies, etc.
Yeah.
A couple of other stories. We've heard Downsall Road in Webb Heath. I know you cover the West area, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
There's an old children's home there and children's centre.
Yeah.
And the county council, I know your borough council, but the county council is mulling over the idea of putting in some social workers there. And the local residents are a bit concerned about the amount of traffic that might be generated.
And rightly so. I think where the children's home is on Downsall Road is down a little cul-de-sac, so there's no way they could park anywhere remotely close to that number of cars, if any. I think that's something I'll have to look into. It's not something I'm aware of, I'll be honest. And to be fair, if they were looking at putting 40...
It's up to 40, I guess.
Up to 40 social workers in the town. I'd like to think that our new hub might be the home for them and not somewhere remote like Webb Heath in a disused children's home.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah, absolutely. And just to wrap up, there's an awful lot happening in Redditch. Well, we know there's an awful lot happening in Redditch because Claire tells us every week there's an awful lot happening in Redditch through our What's On. But on the 18th, next Saturday, we've got Sentimental Journey with Neil Sands.
Yep.
This is something that's run through the Church on the Green, aka St. Stephen's. And it's meant to be a trip down memory lane. It's at 2:30 on the Saturday. And I know that you're not going to be there because your daughter's playing football in a cup final.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, it's Southam United, I think, against Coventry. But back to the town, it's... You know, all of these events that are organised within the town are fantastic. And I think the more people that can get involved, the better. You know, we've got a fantastic town. We just need to make more of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if, you know, prior to Sentimental Journey, which is at 2:30 on the 18th, you could probably take in Ulster Food Festival. Ulster Food Festival and Beer Festival.
If you want a few
beers. And so the 18th is looking up to be a great day. And finally, on the 9th of June, looking a little bit further ahead, we've heard that a Battle of Britain flight hurricane is going to be making a fly pass over Webb Heath generally, but Redditch and then specifically over Webb Heath to mark an exhibition on the D-Day landings because it's the 75th anniversary of D-Day this year.
Yeah.
And a Battle of Britain flight hurricane is going to be flying over Redditch, which is rather nice.
It's probably been many a year since one of those flew over Redditch.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic to see as well. Let's hope it's low enough for us all to get a good view. That will be absolutely great.
And you mentioned earlier while we were chatting downstairs that the Alloys, now Metis, built
Metis.
Parts for
they
our,
built,
our
yeah,
aircraft.
Yeah, they did. They built parts for the Spitfire during the war. So one would assume that maybe parts for the Hurricane as well. I don't know that for fact, but I wouldn't be surprised. So, fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. So great heritage in Redditch.
Yes, fantastic.
It's all happening, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's all happening in Redditch. Thanks for coming in, Matt.
Yep, okay.
We're going to go over to Claire, who's going to tell us. I know I've just sort of stolen her thunder by telling her all everything that's going on in Redditch. But we're going to go over to Claire now, who's going to tell us all about what's on in Redditch. Over to you, Claire.
For all the things to do and see this week, it's Claire Bullivant with this week's What's On Guide.
Back with some fun things happening this week in town. My name is Claire Bullivant at the Redditch and Ulster Standards, and these are my top picks of things to do and see this week in the Redditch and Ulster areas. Starting off on Friday the 10th of May, we have a Redditch pop-up art gallery starting on Friday and running until the 19th, and it will be at 7 Park Walk opposite Waterstones in the Kingfisher Shopping Centre. It features over 50 local artists displaying over 400 pieces of art and will be open every day from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. Absolutely free to look around and appreciate all that lovely art. Hope you get to check it out. Also starting on Friday is the Simon and Garfunkel story happening at the Palace Theatre. Direct from its success in London's West End, this is an almost sold out UK tour and has been receiving standing ovations at every performance. The Simon and Garfunkel story uses huge projection photos and original film footage and a full live band, and has all the hits including Mrs. Robinson, Cecilia, Bridge Over Troubled Water, Homeward Bound, all your favourites. It's going to be a spectacular show. Get your tickets quick from the Redditch Palace Theatre.co.uk. Moving on to Saturday the 11th, we've got some of my favourite musicals. The Rock of Ages experience coming to the Palace Theatre. This is an amazing tribute to the smash hit Hollywood film and musical, plus the best of the rest of iconic 80s rock classics. From Bon Jovi and Guns N' Roses to Journey and Whitesnake, this six-piece band will rock the house to its very foundations. If you want a great night of rocking 80s fun, you've got it. Get your tickets quick from the Palace. And it's a busy old night at the Palace Theatre on Saturday, as we also have comedian and entertainer Malcolm Stent's one-man show, A Look at Life. Growing up in the days before health and safety was invented, in a tight-knit working-class community in Saltley in Birmingham, Michael takes you through his life lessons and anecdotes with humour and song. He's a very funny man. Tickets from the Palace Theatre website. We've also got some live music happening on Saturday night in Redditch. The Old Rascals will be performing at Briley Moor Social Club. And over at the Oast House, we have a 90s club classics night with the Matrix Club Matrix. Always a great time there. And you can find out more details on their website, theoasthouseredditch.co.uk. Now on to Sunday, the 12th of May. Who's been to Studley Car Boot Sale? If you haven't been yet, do check it out. I found out recently it's actually a family business that started 29 years ago and continues to be run by the same family and a great team of staff. There is always updated information on their check line number, which is 01527 892 670. And just in case you haven't been before, it's located on the A448 at Studley. You can really pick up a bargain, or if you want to sell something, you could always run your own stall there. Gates open at 5:30 a.m. / 6 a.m. StudleyCarBootSale.co.uk is the website for all the details on that. And I hope you go and pick up a bargain there. Then after you've done your car booting, head on over to the Forge Mill as it's National Mills Day. It will be kicking off at 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. on Saturday, and you can explore a Victorian mill whose role as a needle-scouring location helps make Redditch famous right across the world. There will be the chance to see the water wheel in action, and once you've enjoyed the mill, you can then also take a relaxing stroll around the Abbey ruins or let the little ones have some fun in the adventure playground. Adults cost only £2, and children, it's totally free, and it also includes entry into the museum. ForgeMill.org.uk if you need more details on that. Then on Sunday night, Led Hendrix will be performing at Steps Bar and Club in Redditch. They're always a really fun band. And for the brainiacs among you, head on over to the charity quiz night at the Bell Inn in Aswith Bank with Alan. It's a 9 p.m. start there. Then next Tuesday, the 14th of May, for parents of toddlers, there's a fun event happening at 360 Playtown in the Kingfisher Shopping Centre. This is a free event where there'll be informative workshops, fun for the toddlers, and you can also meet lots of other local parents. It's all like networking, and there'll be businesses there to give you advice and community spirit. It's all going to be running from 10 a.m. until 2:30 p.m. And as I said before, it's totally free, so do go along with your little ones. Then on Tuesday evening, don't forget, it's the smartphone speed quiz night at the Bell Inn in Aswad Bank. 9 p.m. start for that. And then finally, our last topic of the week is on Thursday, the 16th of May. And it's award-winning stand-up comedian, viral blogger and best-selling author Sam Avery and his Learner Parent Show at the Palace Theatre. He started his award-winning blog when his twin boys were born. And a million nappies later, Peppa Pig episodes and a head full of hair loss, he says. He shares all the lows, the highs and hilarious in-betweens of his experiences of first-time parenthood. 8 p.m. start there, and tickets from the Palace Theatre website. And that concludes our roundup of events to see and do this week in town. If you have an event that you'd like included, please do get in touch with us. You can email us your event details or give us a call, and we'll help you publicise it to all the readers of our paper, listeners of this podcast, and we'll also pop you on social media. Thank you for listening, and have a great week.